Well, good evening. Good to be here again with you all. Greetings in Jesus' name. Thank you for that devotional, Brother Ron. It was very good. Very inspiring. No matter our problems, we have a God who is bigger. A God who has a solution to our problems. Well, as I thought of what to share tonight for a message, various passages and so on that I considered as I thought of what to share, and as I was preparing, I thought of all the messages that we heard this past weekend, and for a bit I thought, all that good stuff that we heard, maybe that would just suffice for a message tonight. But we want to look into God's Word. I didn't share that with the other brothers. I figured it wouldn't gain much traction. So I have settled on Psalm 139 for a passage here. I believe Brother Joe opened saying that we are here to look at, search our hearts. And that is indeed what I was thinking of as well. That is indeed what led me here to this chapter. Psalm 139, very familiar psalm to us. And a few of the verses here that speak of God searching us are what led me to this psalm. I want to just read this whole psalm through. I believe in the original, it would have been written in a song form. It says, at the top heading, it says, to the chief musician. I believe it would have been in some sort of a song form, perhaps rhyming words, I'm not sure, in the original. But probably they would have, sang it. Let's read this chapter, Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downseating and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. For a title tonight, I'd simply borrow words from verse 23, the first four words. Search me, O God. Search me, O God. And I'd like to pull some thoughts from these verses along those lines. First of all, here in verse 1, he says, Lord, thou hast searched me. You have searched me and known me. And he goes on to say, you know everything about me. You know when I sit down, when I get up in the morning. You know all the things I do. All my ways, he says in verse 3. Art acquainted with all my ways, all the details, my habits, everything I do on a daily basis, you know. You know all the words I say there in verse 4. It's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Furthermore, in verse 2, not only does God know my actions, he knows my thoughts. Afar off, it says. I think that means even before I think them, even before they come to mind, God knows those thoughts. He knows them before I even have the thought. We call this omniscience, don't we? Knowing everything. God knows everything. He's omniscient. And only God is omniscient. God's the only one that knows all. He's the only one that knows the thoughts we think. You know, some of us sometimes we like to think we can read other people's minds, maybe someone we know well, husband or wife. You can about tell what the other person's thinking, or if you give a comment, you're on a certain subject, you can just about know what that person is going to say. But we still don't know what they're thinking. We get pretty close sometimes. Only God fully knows our thoughts. And we can perhaps hide our thoughts from other people, but we can't hide them from God. God knows. And as I already said, not only does he know our thoughts today, he knows the thoughts before they come to us. He knows what we're going to think on tomorrow. God knows it all, everything about you and I. And verse 6, he says, all that, considering all that knowledge, it's too wonderful for me. I can't comprehend that. And surely, as we think about that, we can't. It's far above our understanding how God can, it baffles our minds how God can know our thoughts even before we ever have them, and so on. And he goes on in verse 7, in the following there, to another great characteristic of God, I believe. And that is the fact that God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. He says, verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or where shall I flee from thy presence? Where could I go to get away from God's presence? And in verses 8 and 9 here following, he lists some extremes, maybe you could say, and raises the question, would these be possibilities to escape the presence of God? If I ascend up into heaven, maybe he was considering the sky, as far up as you could go, live in the clouds somewhere. Or maybe he was thinking of space, looking way out and seeing those stars way out there. I make my bed in hell. I believe he was talking about maybe the depths in the earth, way down under the earth. And he mentions the uttermost parts of the sea. If I could go somewhere way under the ocean, I'm sure back in his time that was not even a possibility. Nowadays we can. We could take a submarine and go way down there somewhere. and live down there for some time, way out of where people normally live. But he concludes that God would be there. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. He can't escape God's presence, no matter where he would go. Verses 11 and 12. Goes on to say, the darkness makes no difference. Thick darkness or light, both are alike to God. It makes no difference. Makes no difference to God. God's presence is everywhere. And of course, we all remember the story of the prophet Jonah as trying to foolishly flee from the presence of the Lord. Well, how did that work for him? It didn't work very well at all, did it? He went down there to, was it Tarshish? No, maybe that's where he was headed. I can't remember. Went down to the dock and got on that ship and headed out across the water. I don't know if he thought he was getting away or not. When he was down in that boat, fast asleep, well, there was God right there. And God saw. And when he was thrown overboard, God saw. God had that big fish prepared to swallow him. And even when he was down under the ocean, in that whale, or in that big fish, whatever it was, he was still in God's presence. God is everywhere. And I believe it's a terrifying thing to those who disregard God, those who would disobey. But it's a very comforting thought to those of us who love and serve him, that God is everywhere and can be right with us all the time. God is everywhere and knows everything about me. Verses 13 to 16. I take from these that God knew about me and had a plan for my life even before I was born. Isn't that amazing? In verse 16 it says there, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. I take that to mean that God had me recorded in his book before I was even completely formed. Isn't that just an amazing thought? God had a plan for me before I was born. And verse 14, well, praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, God made me just as I am, whether healthy or born with a limb missing, you know, a defect or problem that we might call a handicap that others don't have. God made me fearfully and wonderfully. I believe God created me as I am for a purpose. I thought of the blind man that the disciples and Jesus met the one time, and the disciples said, oh, Jesus, that man, he was born blind. Who did wrong? Who sinned? Did that man sin or did his parents sin? Jesus said no one sinned, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. That's why he was born that way. And I believe that if we, no matter how God made us, with a handicap or otherwise, he made us that way for his glory, and that the works of God should be manifest in and through us. Fearfully and wonderfully made. I believe, yeah, we could talk all evening about our human bodies and how they function, and it's just amazing how there's parts that work to fight off disease and so on, and heal an injury and so on. Verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Well, I believe this verse tells us that whatever God does and allows in my life is for a purpose. And that purpose is to somehow use those things for my good. And that somehow I would be the person that he wants me to be. Everything he allows, he wants somehow for my good. We can't always see it, can we? Sometimes it's very, really hard for us to understand how something could be for our good that he allows. But God does. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Also a verse from Jeremiah. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God doesn't think evil toward us. He wants to, whatever he allows, what he sends, he wants to bring about a glorious end, I believe. A glorious end result he wants it to bring in our lives. Well, our text verse there. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Well, we might ask the question, why? Why does the psalm writer ask God to search him? Why would we ask God to search our hearts? Does God need to search us? We just looked at all these verses that tell us that God already knows it all, right? He knows all about us, what we do, what we think, even before we had the thought, and so on. In verse 24, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Is that because God doesn't know? Well, of course he knows. God doesn't need to search my heart to find out. He knows already what's there, of good or bad. But I believe the purpose is rather to show me what's there. That God would shine on something that's not what it should be, and expose that to me. And that, I believe, is why the psalm writer here, and that is why I personally should ask God to search me and know my heart. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we reckon with that. Yes, even as Christians, while we all as Christians, our desire is to love and serve Jesus Christ. We're committed. We want to be faithful and true to him. But you know, within our hearts, the old self lurks, I believe. And that old self desperately wants to be loved and served as well. And if self can steal some of that loyalty that belongs to Jesus Christ, it will. And it can be such a subtle thing, I believe. And that's why, hence, that I need to ask God to search me, try my heart, see if there be any wicked way in me. I need to ask God to show me what's there. Are my motives pure, right, and good? Is there any seed of self and pride hidden there? See if there be any wicked way in me. Well, that's why we need to ask God to search our hearts. That's why I need to personally ask God to search my heart. Because I believe if we're sincere in our walk, about our walk with Jesus Christ, we want to be dedicated totally, and we'll be concerned about the possibility of self creeping in, of pride creeping in, the world creeping in, and stealing our hearts. In Mark chapter 9, I believe it is, we have the story of a man who brought his son to Jesus to heal. That son was possessed with, I believe it called it a dumb spirit, and it drove him. It was a spirit, a devilish spirit anyway, but drove him to do all kinds of harmful things. He was out of control, I believe. It says he would cast him into the fire and into the water. And this father was just distraught. I mean, I can't imagine being in that kind of position as a father. It would be more distressing than anything I ever faced. And You recall how he came to the disciples, first of all, I believe. The disciples could not cast out the spirit. And then Jesus came along. He came to Jesus, and he said, "Jesus, I don't know at what point or what level his faith was, or if he wasn't sure if Jesus could completely heal him or not. But he said, Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us, please." And Jesus replied, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And it says immediately with tears, this father said, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." You know, he was just all in, whatever it took. And I believe it's that kind of dedication that I should have, that you and I should have, as I ask God to search my heart. Search me, O God. Search my heart, and if there is any part of my heart that isn't sanctified, any part that isn't surrendered or obedient to you, help me to turn that over to you. Search me, O God. This searching is for our good, is for our benefit. Well, maybe a little bit on how does God search my heart? Well, I believe that God can use various means to search our heart. And I believe when I open myself up to God and his searching, that God can use any means to reveal that, to search me and reveal to me what I need to see. But just a few that I picked out. I believe God uses his word to search my heart. And when we say, "Search me, O God," and we read the word, I believe it can do just that. It can be that which searches us. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, I don't know what all that means there, but some of it that I do understand is that God's word is powerful, that it can do powerful things. And it can discern and show to me what the thoughts and intents of my heart really are. Whether I'm doing what I'm doing out of a heart of love for Jesus, or if there is maybe another selfish motive deep down inside that is the reason, I believe it can reveal those kind of things. Another way, I believe, is through our fellow Christians. I believe God uses them also to search our hearts. And I believe that my fellow brothers and sisters are a huge help in keeping me on the straight and narrow way. I need them to balance me out. I need them to come to me and say, "Brother, is this where you really want to be? Is this going to help you maintain your walk with Jesus Christ?" You see, none of us are so good that we don't need some of that, that we don't need some help every now and then in our Christian life. In our walk. At least not myself. You know, even the Apostle Peter needed correction. At least that's what I read in Galatians, where Paul says he had to withstand Peter to the face. Peter was getting off track. And he had to address that. And I believe it was an address that was well received and that was valuable to Peter. And I say tonight that I believe the brotherly address is valuable to our Christian walk. You know, it doesn't always feel so good when it comes, does it? But I believe it is valuable. God does use my brother to show me where I may be off track. I believe it is one way that God can use to search me and reveal what's in my heart. Well, how else does God search my heart? I believe he searches my heart through the circumstances of life many times. And I had to think of times in the Bible, you know, where God used circumstances to get someone's attention. I thought of Paul on his way to Damascus. You know, Paul was just zealously doing what he thought was right. I really believe he thought he was in the right. Persecuting the church, he was going to stamp out. He was going to do whatever it took to bring this new heresy to naught. And that's what he was doing. And he was on his way to Damascus for that reason. And remember how that just a piercing bright light hit him when he was on the way and stopped him in his tracks. God got his attention. He was blind for several days. I also thought of an Old Testament account. Balaam. Remember that story, how Balaam just wanted that. He just wanted that reward. He was determined to go to King Balak, and he started out that morning in that donkey that was usually just did whatever he told it to. Right? It was usually just obedient. It went everywhere but where it was supposed to go, off the trail, and here crushed his foot against the wall. And Balaam, he didn't catch on. He got angry, was hitting that donkey. So even, you know, the donkey spoke to him, just like a real person. And it doesn't seem like, it seems like it hardly got his attention at all. He just argued back just like he was arguing with another person. It seems like he hardly caught on that this was some supernatural thing. Till the angel was there and he saw the angel. We might say, well, how ridiculous could you be, Balaam? But you know, I just had to think, you know, how many times am I just like Balaam or Apostle Paul there? I believe he was Saul there at that time. Just plowing ahead, you know, with my plans. And God is there trying to get my attention. How dramatic does it have to get till God gets me to look, has my attention? Well, maybe most of the circumstances we face today are not dramatic most times like it was for Balaam or for Saul. Most likely not. But I believe many times the circumstances that God brings into our life, he can be trying to speak to us. I had to think of just several weeks ago my own life. I was just reminded how quickly my plans can change. You know, I set out at the beginning of the day, and I had plans. I was headed down the road with my tractor. I had a job to go to, and just like that, I had a breakdown. I was sitting by the road, and I had to think, you know, boast not thyself tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. God can just remind me that I'm in control, and you can plan these things, but it's really only as I bless your plans that it can prosper. Well, another one. I think God can use just services like this one tonight, council meeting, to search me. A time of looking at myself, looking inward and asking myself, you know, how's it going? How's things going with God? How's things going between myself and my brothers? And I just like to read the verses in 1 Corinthians 11 that speak to our council meeting, I believe, what we call our council meeting. 1 Corinthians 11. I believe this is maybe the main scripture that we base our council service off. I'd just like to read these verses to refresh it in our minds. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Let a man examine himself. That's why we're here tonight, is it not? We're to examine ourselves. And then, after we've done that examination, so let him eat and drink. And I believe, according to these verses, it's a serious thing to partake in the Lord's Supper unworthily. It says, it's damnation. It's damnation to oneself if I'm not worthy. Let a man examine himself. And I'm not sure that I can explain the way I should. In this whole thing, you know, what part is mine to play in this self-examination, and what part God has in this? But I think the two go very much hand in hand. And I need to be willing to search. I need to be and examine where I'm at and look at how I'm doing. And I need to ask God to search me. And I believe if we sincerely want God to search us, God is faithful in doing the exposing. And God is faithful in doing the cleansing if we're willing to follow him. And if we're willing to follow in this, God will lead us, I believe. Well, that's a few of my thoughts from Psalm 139 here tonight. There's much more we could share. Maybe I'll close by simply reading the last two verses here of the chapter. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. May God bless.